For the moment. Trying to herd cats, and they're not all evenly lined up.
To join a conference now. If you are the meeting host, please enter your PIN.
Chris, is anybody from your organization joining us by phone other than Ryan?
No.
Okay. I wasn't sure if I thought he mentioned somebody might be, but set up a conference line for them to do that. Dean, welcome. Hey, Ryan. Thank you for joining us. We're going to keep the little speaker box a little further away from all of us just in case. It's transmittal through the phone. I'm not sure if anybody else is joining us by phone. Chris, and I'm sorry, and Ty are here, just so that you know. Also, Sarah from Ajax. Ajax is here as well. All right, we've got another minute. Well, let's see if we can get started and finish up about 10:30 if we can. So Director Schmidt has another place to be, as I'm sure many of us do. All right. We've got 9:30. So welcome, everyone. I appreciate you taking time to be here. Director Schmidt was just asking me about the update on the other working groups. And I'd say that there's good progress being made, but fits and starts with a couple of them. And it's my job to sit in on making sure we pull these together and how they work. I think the low-hanging fruit, quite honestly, in many respects, is this one and the repairs to the existing facility. I'd be curious to see what that number is going to be. Rather significant, I can only imagine. But beyond that, the other two working groups are making some progress as well. We giving some thought to the prospect of maybe doing some combining of working groups in the near future as they are playing out. And then secondly, I don't expect that to happen in the case of this one. But it's a good chance that we might want to take a look at even in the December meeting or maybe the 1st of January meeting to see what the folks in the construction business of these kind of things recommend in terms of a campus-type facility, or, separate entities of different facilities, et cetera, based upon the needs and that sort of thing. So we'll see where that goes from here. But with that, let's go ahead and do introductions, starting with my friend Jeff over to the left.
Jeff Clements, Council Research. Larry Schmidt, Director of Services for JSO.
Michael Boylan, Chair of the Committee, District 6. Introductions.
Dolores O'Neill, JSO, Chief of Services.
Scott Dingy, Assistant Chief of Services for JSO.
Ben Carter, Facility Manager, JSO.
And I think you're being coaxed to join us up here, so I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing, right? No worries. Just a real quick introduction while you're at the microphone there.
Okay.
Then you can have a seat.
Assistant Chief Randolph with JSO.
Welcome, Assistant Chief. Appreciate you being here. Okay, Ryan, I wanted to just touch base with you real quick if you had any thoughts other than trying to feel better.
No, I appreciate it. And for those of you who don't know why I'm not there, my son gave me a hand in my mouth. Quite an embarrassing thing to get, but it is what it is. I'm kind of quarantined in my house right now. But, you know, since we last met, it's been good to kind of reflect and touch base with some folks internally. Some insight into what that process
If you had any thoughts during this workshop as to some folks you'd like to hear from, please let me know, and we'll start getting on the board as soon as we can.
Thank you. I appreciate, in all seriousness, your effort to do exactly what you've done, which is engage some of your folks who are in the business, the industry, to be at the table and to have these conversations, because at the end of the day, a lot of our work really is that needs assessment work that we're doing, and hopefully we'll make all of your opportunities easier once you get a firsthand understanding of what priorities are for our folks. So today's meeting really is about two things. Number one, we're going to revisit the immediate existing facility needs, and we're going to be doing that. And then following that will be a conversation about the vision for a future facility. As I said, we've got yourself and others in the room whom I've encouraged, as they hear you talk about the future facility, to ask questions or bring ideas to the table to see how important those are to you. Because for them, in order to make a decent presentation to us in ensuing weeks, we will have to, we want to make sure they've got all the information they need and a good insight. And Director Schmidt, I don't know if that's you or Chief O'Neill, who maybe if they want to follow up specifically after today's meeting with one of the two of you, would that be who
yeah,
best?
Definitely Chief O'Neill.
Okay, Chief O'Neill. Just make sure that we have your, Sonia has your contact information. We'll push it out in the next email to everyone who's interested in getting that information. So if there's an opportunity or means for them to talk with you about some further clarifications, that would be helpful. Okay. Real quick, Ryan, we just realized, I know we spoke yesterday about the next meeting date as November the 10th. The 11th, as you know, is Veterans Day, so we as an organization or as a city are recognizing the 10th as a holiday. So would November 9th work on your calendar? Take a look. Well, give us some thought, and we can talk about it, or we can push it out a little bit more if necessary. All right, so our next meeting date then will be November the 9th, and I'll look to you, Ryan, to coordinate with the various construction groups. I think Ajax and Gilbane will hopefully will do that one. I know TDR, I think she is looking, I was talking to Tracy yesterday, probably November the 20th is going to be our next meeting date, but we will confirm that. Both of those meetings will be in the Linwood Roberts room, so you will have an opportunity to do either join by Zoom and or make a presentation by PowerPoint if you choose to do so. So go from that. Okay, with that, I'm going to turn it over to Director Schmidt, and let's talk about our immediate needs.
All right, and just give you a quick overview from our side of the house. We've looked at this project as being more of a long-term project. So the team that we've assembled, and I'll let them go into the details of this, is looking beyond this 1 year. So and that's one of the reasons why Jonathan Randolph is also on the team. I'm retiring within a year. Chief O'Neill is, I think, 3 years out. Chief Dingy is 2 years out. So we want to make sure this is well thought out beyond our tenure here at JSO. So
well, you can't blame them when it doesn't work out.
Exactly.
Because you're at the table. Before, I was remiss in not recognizing Dean Aller here from Jacksonville University Law School, who's graciously reached out and say, what can we do to be a part of this process?
Right.
They understand and I think have some opportunities with all the working groups to do that, and so he wanted to sit in a couple of these meetings to get a handle on it. With that, go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right, so I'll turn the details over to Chief O'Neill, and if she's got a handout, I don't know if she wants to go over that first or dig right into the details. Yep, if you're ready to go with that first.
All right, so we, about 2011, they started putting together a list of things that the building needed over several years for improvements. And during that time, some of those things included replacing the air handler units that were old and improving the flooring in the building, going around and other items that were more critical, like our air conditioning and cooling for our data centers. And that list was a very long list that was created by Public Buildings and the city of, and JSO together. And a lot of those items have been addressed over the over that time. This list you see here is kind of what's the leftovers of that list, plus what we've added for this next push of what does this building need for the next 3 to 5 years to really, you know, be efficient, be effective, dependable, and really even to be hardened for the use of a comm center, a Jacksonville Sheriff's Office Police Memorial Building, their administrative building, if we lose power, and still be able to effectively serve the citizens of Jacksonville. And so then we had to organize those into what are the real priorities. And you'll see those in that first section all labeled as number one, but then alphabetized as what our real critical needs are. Those items include some UPS backup for our data center. The air conditioning is 45 years old. It's not working as it should. It needs to be improved, some new controls put in, things like that. As we discussed in our last meeting, there's not a lot of ballistic protection for our entrances, and that's something that is built into new facilities. And we'd like to improve that now while we have an opportunity to better protect the building and our people that are in it. And then if we can try to get the generator to back up the HVAC system, then we could actually stay in the building during a major outage, a major issue in Jacksonville. Right now we have to basically evacuate everyone except for the critical needs people that are there, and we could serve better having the entire building on that. There's some other small items there, security issues with our ProWatch panels. That doesn't say a whole lot to you when it says ProWatch, but what happens, we have our card access entry right now, and that system is not on any type of backup.
Right.
So when we lose power, we lose security. So we need to do something with that. That then rolls into all the other items we have. Public Buildings has worked on trying to get us a ballpark pricing for these things. And that top list right there, I believe, is around $2.3 million. And then if you incorporate everything on the list that we would need, including the new helicopter pad, which is up top, the roofing for that, the gate controllers that are old, even working on a water treatment system for our HVAC, and improving the elevators because they are failing, left and right. Mm-hmm. We have failures on those all the time. That incorporates about $6.5 million to do everything on that list.
And I will say this is not to make anything extravagant by any means. This is just, and we talked about this last meeting, to make it operational, to have a facility that the employees can actually come to work and not have to put a trash can out to stop the water from leaking on their desk. That's, and then if the power goes out, to actually have a facility that we can still use, because obviously if the power's out, there's probably an emergency going on, and we need to be able to staff that building to attend to that emergency. This is not to make it plush or anything, just to make it workable.
Well, I wrote down his comments: efficient, effective, and hardened. That's really all we're looking for.
Yeah, and even especially the HVAC system, we struggle daily in that building. I've got areas of the building that are 75 and 78 degrees, and other areas that are 65 and 64 degrees.
Sure.
We cannot balance the system properly, and we've got people in one area that are in blankets and gloves, and others with fans on, and it's not comfortable. It's not effective.
Well, it's really important from my personal perspective that we address this as quickly as possible. I mean, we are putting through a lot of work to get to where we want to be in the future, and that time and energy needs to be rewarded by addressing some of your immediate needs. So a couple of questions with respect to this. I've got a couple items here. First of all, what's been allocated in this year's fiscal year budget as a CIP improvements for the facility?
Currently, you see the replace the three air handlers. That's in this fiscal year, 24 and 25, incorporates all of that from CIP money.
Okay.
The skylights have already been worked on the main corridor. Of course, we've had leaks on those three times already after the new ones were installed, and they're still working on trying to improve those. And then nothing else is incorporated in CIP currently. There is annual CIP money that some of these can be addressed with. Once we get to that point in 26.
Sure. So if you take a look at your
one items, and there's no point in doing this in years three and four. At that point in time, it's probably not worth the investment of some of the major ones. I would like to suggest that we take a look and come back to me with a finer tooth. It doesn't have to be part of the next meeting, whenever you want to do it, so we can get the ball rolling. Let's take a look at all the item number one items, and perhaps let's throw in some of the bathrooms in there too, the more highly used bathrooms. Get me a number on those to say if that's half that number, whatever it is, if it's first floor bathrooms or second floor or whatever. I'm sure somebody has a sense of what the volume of each bathroom use is.
Certainly.
All right, so let's see if we can get that number, and let's see what we can do to modify the existing CIP to address these items.
Yes, sir.
And just in reference to the budgeting, normally this goes through public buildings
right.
and budget, and I know we talked about it some during the last meeting. If public buildings wants us to take on these projects and the budgeting for that, we're fine with that.
Understood.
And we can probably be more
hands-on. You're there every day. You're
right,
going to wake
exactly.
up thinking about it every day.
Right. They've got buildings
they got
all
plenty.
Across the
right.
county, literally all across the county to attend to. So if they want to shift that, we are more than happy to take that burden on.
Well, the challenge, perhaps, I think that's viable. The challenge, of course, then you get into procurement, it's that sort of thing. And as you probably all know, we're in the process of redoing procurement process right now, which hopefully should make things move a little bit faster in what we do. But having said that, there's no reason why we can't take a look at the prospect of you say, hey, let us handle these things. All right, so if you can get me that in a form, let me see what I can do about getting with the CFO and our folks and say, where do we find the money to do this and put it into the CIP and get this done in this fiscal year that we can anyway?
Yes, sir.
All right. Any comments about any of that from anybody else? Ring done. All right, let's go ahead. Now let's move on to the future, the wish list. More than a wish list. I don't call it. That's unfair to call it that. It really is, I'm sure, a lot of thought. Chief O'Neill, why don't you first of all talk about that, about the process as how this list was, or this, you know, your vision was crafted.
Okay. Well, first, Ryan, I want to say I hope you get better really soon. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, last week we met with the sheriff, and we wanted to know what his vision was so we can move forward. And so that's basically what this is, as well as some of the agencies we have visited and some of their lessons learned that we can bring back to us. So that's basically what this presentation is.
Oh, when you say visit, how many did you visit? What
well,
you
in the last week.
What did you learn?
Yeah, so we went to Nassau County, and we visited Gainesville Police Department. Assistant Chief Dingy and I, we also visited some agencies up in Chicago. So there were some things that were all, basically they all said the same thing for a lot of it, which is in this presentation here that we'll get to. Okay.
Footage, square footage wise, I'm sure it's in here, but how did you make a determination as to how many departments, et cetera? I know there's some relocation
mm-hmm.
outside
mm-hmm.
Over on Riverside now, but
right.
is the intent to try and pull everything back together again? Go ahead.
Yes. So the Homeland and Security departments, they will remain at Riverside. But we do have some departments that we do need to move back in. The square footage, we don't have the square footage today of what we would need because we really need staff input for that. And so, again, that's going to be part of this presentation. So on our next meeting, we should have a better view of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you have that sooner than later, then
yes.
let us know. Pass it on to the folks making presentations so
Absolutely.
They can take that into account as they put together
comparables. Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
I'll
so with our meeting with the sheriff last week, of course, you always want to start off with what's the philosophy of the sheriff and the sheriff's office. So you'll see here on this document, the vision statement, the mission statement, and the core values, because that's what we want to center this new building around. Also, the facilities committee, we have everyone here listed, which everyone already knows, and then I'm sorry, does somebody have a question?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. So as Director Schmidt has already said, the estimated time for groundbreaking is beyond 1 year. So Assistant Chief Dingy, myself, and Director Schmidt, we will all be gone within 4 year period. So it's always recommended to have at least one sworn person for the duration of the project. And that is how Assistant Chief Jonathan Randolph was chosen. He has been a part of facilities for the last few years, and now he's the assistant chief of our information systems management team, which is also going to be very vital in the building. So he is actually the perfect choice for that, to be that person for us. The needs assessment process, I don't want to just read every slide to you, but a needs assessment, what is it basically? It's a long-range study of JSO staff requirements and the space needed to adequately serve the population needs. That's usually done by an independent subject matter expert. I know we're all taking on some of that, and we will probably have a professional that's going to assist us in that, we hope. But that's basically what the needs assessment is. The current employees that's currently in the in our PM.
On a comment on the last one. You're absolutely right. Facilitate an independent subject matter expert. I am not that.
Yeah.
and we fully expect that, you know, as we get into the next level, past all this and recommendations are done, you will be getting that opportunity to work with the various constructors to do that work.
Excellent. So our current employees that we have in our Police Memorial Building currently in 2023 is approximately 725 employees, give or take some, with 165,466 square feet of air-conditioned space that we have. But if we move everyone into the building, we would have 850 or a little bit more employees in that building, which obviously right now we cannot fit. The next slide, we asked the sheriff, hey, you know, what is your vision of what you want the sheriff's office to look like? So I had several pictures in here. I went ahead and put in this slide, the one that he actually chose. This is out in Montana. And so you can see, for those of you who have the slide presentation, you can see that this building is mostly brick with some glass. Of course, we'll have to have like the ballistic rating for the glass. It's a good-looking building, I think. So,
a welcoming building.
Yes, yes, it is. It is, which goes right along with our values and our mission statement, really. So it's more of a modern look, a standalone. It can be a one, two, or three-story building. He really didn't have a real preference on that. We do want to look at solar panels for the roof for the energy efficiency of it, because we know in the long run that's going to save us money as well, which then would help us along with the building money for our building. The parking, we really would like to have level parking for visitors in front of the building, but a secure parking garage for the employees with a breezeway to the main building because of all of the weather that we have here, rain, the hurricanes, that type of thing. And also for our vehicles, it actually saves on some of the life of the vehicles too, I believe.
As to how many parking spots you're going to want?
Well, we would have over, if we are talking about building now into the future, I'm going to look at even more than the 850 parking spots that we would need if we had everybody in our building today. So we would really need well over 1,000 parking spots, I would think. We also would like to have the electric car charging stations in both the visitor parking lot as well as our secure parking, because we would like to look at some of our future police cars going to be electric vehicles. We know, again, we're not just building for today what we currently have, but we're building for the future. And so we can see that coming along. We also want to have like maybe a child custody exchange area in our parking lot, as well as a safer transaction location. which when people buy things on Facebook or Craigslist, that this is going to be a safe location for them to come to. So, of course, there will be a lot of lighting there and for people to feel more comfortable being there. So also on the exterior design, we would like to have a police memorial area. As you can see, the picture that I placed there is the picture that's right outside of ViStar. We would like to have that or something very similar to that, as well as display all the flags, the U.S. flag, Florida flag, as well as all the military, because we definitely want to pay homage to that, and also maybe a K-9 statue, which I've also included, the one that we currently
so,
have.
So, yeah, obviously, location may dictate that, so what this is suggesting is so relocating the existing memorial to, if it, in fact the jail facility is in a common place that people other than those just coming to the jail can can see and
if
visit.
We have and if we're
just
going to
making
build
sure
new.
I'll make that clear.
Yes,
if location will dictate whether or not that is part of this plan.
Right. So our future design that we would have the lobby. Of course, we would like to have the public counter right up front when people enter. And, of course, to have ballistic windows and walls there for when people are entering the building for our employees to be safe. Right off of the public counter, we would like to have a community meeting room where the public can come in and actually use the facility, because we do realize that it is the community's police building. The sheriff always says it's the people's sheriff's office. So we want to definitely make sure we have that. We want to have additional training rooms and determine how much of space we're going to use for the community. We need to continue to have security there, as well as have like the ballistic the ballistic area for them as well, and then have our history hallway so that the public and the officers can see that. We want to make sure that we can all see that. And a video wall board. That video wall board would be for the public as well as the officers that are there to be able to be updated on anything from the sheriff's office and to be able to be kept up on all the news. And, of course, we would like to have windows in our new or renovated facility, because right now that's just part
never
of the
know.
Wellness. Yeah, right now we have no windows. Yeah. So, again, I have another picture of when we were in Chicago. This is a lobby here, which I thought was a very, very nice lobby for people. It was very welcoming for the community. And the next one is an example of what a community room could look like for everyone to be able to come in and meet and have their meetings.
Just real quick, as I know you probably don't want to speak for the sheriff per se, but I'm encouraged to see this kind of thinking happening with respect
absolutely.
To that. Obviously, one of the common criticisms is the fact of the engagement of the community with the sheriff's office and staff. So I think this is the kind of message we want to convey to folks, that we do want to be open and are interested in hearing what you have to say about practices and policies. Thank you.
Yeah, and there are a lot of community meetings that they just need a space to hold that meeting. Mm-hmm. And we think it'd be great for them to hold that within the sheriff's office.
Yeah, again, depending on the location, there may be an HOA or whatever in the neighborhood.
Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
So also for the interior of the department, so when we started looking at the different departments and what they would need. So everything in the red are things that are not in the department currently that we would need to bring into the sheriff's office. So administrative offices, we would need a corrections director office there, as well as a legal advisor office. The sheriff wanted to add that in there. For police services, I've listed all of the all of the units that would need to be inside of the sheriff's office, and the property and evidence room currently is housed in a warehouse off the facility. However, that space is already, they're outgrowing that space, and it would be more helpful to have them in the in our police memorial building. So
having that a separate current. Location doesn't help, I'm sure,
no.
In terms of efficiency.
Right, as far as efficiency, right. So for personnel and professional standards, right now we have recruiting in our background investigations and a civilian HR manager out at our training academy, but it would be much more helpful and more efficient if we had them inside of the PMB. So that's why they are in red, and all of these other offices that are already here, they're already housed in our current PMB that we already have. So for our patrol and enforcement, in our patrol division, we would really only need the office for our chief of patrol, which we already have because everyone else is already on the street and we have the substations. But in our patrol support area, our offender tracking unit and our felony registration, we would need to move them back into the building with us. Currently, they're housed off into another building because we don't have room. But all these other areas are already there with us. But as you can see, there's quite a bit of units that fall up under patrol support that we would need in the building with us. And so our next one is our bigger one, which is investigations and Homeland Security. Again, Homeland Security, they will remain at our Riverside location. So then we would just need to have our investigations division there, our specialized investigations section, which is our citywide community response, cold case, crime gun intelligence center, firearms lab, gang investigations, violent crimes unit. And if we drop down to our property crime section, our crime scene, latent printer and photo lab would need to actually come on board in our police memorial building.
The only one that's staying on Riverside is Homeland Security?
Homeland Security.
All the rest are coming back.
Yes,
in.
All the rest would need
presently,
to come back.
Presently, are they already at Riverside? Is investigations and missing persons part of the Riverside facility now?
No, okay. They're not. Missing. So everything that's not in red, they're currently in our police memorial building.
Where are the others?
So the others, they are housed in different
various facilities
around the city.
Okay.
Yes. So things we would like to see.
Real quick, I'm sorry.
Oh, no problem.
So obviously you've given some thought as to pluses and minuses to being housed inside the facility.
Absolutely.
And to say, well, that could still stay outside if necessary, if we had an adequate facility. I get the sense, too, that anything that's outside of this is presently not sufficient for the needs of that particular department or division.
Right.
Yeah, and there are various things that play into that also. Some of them have leases that will be coming up within the next couple of years. Some of them are in buildings that are really not up to standard. So those factors also play in depending upon the unit.
And the Riverside is a 5-year lease, as I understand it. We just executed.
No,
five with a rollover, right?
We've got a
11-year.
Yeah. 11-year.
11-year lease.
Plus one extra,
right.
And then two renewals
two
of five.
So it's the long-term home for
yes.
That one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So.
Well, JSO doesn't own any property off-site. The city owns all the property.
Right.
Yeah, but so I dare say, you know, that's an interesting question we could talk about. Are there existing facilities, commercial or JSO city-owned, that we could take a look at as something that we can modify or develop? And that's why I asked the question specifically about, does it really need to be in the central facility? Because there may be opportunities other places. But so that doesn't quite answer your question, Ryan, but it gets you in the ballpark anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So some of the things we would like to see, some of the additional spaces is in investigations, a family and victim room. And that's going to be for homicide and special assault so that we can bring those families in and put mm-hmm. them in the room that's more conducive to someone that has just been through a trauma. Of course, an employee wellness area. And I can tell you when we will get to this, but in all of the buildings that we have visited, maybe except with the exception of maybe one, employee wellness was high on the list. A gym, a daycare because, you know, we have people who work shift work. And so a lot of times We think, well, first of all, we think that would be a great recruiting and retention tool. And that's not just for JSO employees, but that could be used for city employees. So I think that would be a great addition for us. Our real-time crime center, we currently have one, but of course we're talking about an increased space for them because, again, we're talking about the future, not just what we have right now, but we know that is definitely going to grow. So we're looking at what it would look like in 10, 15, 20 years from now. And a press briefing room with a studio and a multimedia room and an emergency operations command room for us.
I know JFRD and Reddy Jacks is in a hardened facility right now, the Cologix facility on Spring Park Road. Is this a separate from the work that they're doing in terms of emergency operations?
Yeah.
Yes.
So that is more of the, I'll say, central command. But to run the operations for each of these incidents, having a separate facility mm-hmm. is really beneficial. Right now, how we operate are the EOC, the Emergency Operations
right.
Center, that's for the command and control of the overall operation. The staffing. This is more for, all right, here's the resources that we're allocating. How are we tracking them? What is their next assignment? What additional equipment are
right.
we needing to actually boots on the ground type operations?
Well, I think connectivity between the two is going to be critical.
Absolutely.
Too. Big monitors, although you're not in the same room, you're in separate facilities,
right.
and a good idea to have separate facilities, quite honestly. But to make sure there's connectivity between, so Chief Powers and the sheriff need to speak, they can do it face-to-face, however, albeit virtually.
And then we looked at new build versus renovating or leasing.
Yeah.
So, of course, what he talked about was a new build. It would be new. It would be his design. We would have the current codes and energy efficiency that maybe an older building would not. But we did look at renovating or leasing, what that would involve, of course, you know, making sure we'd be ADA compliant. We would look at the conditions of the existing facility, code compliance, and if we had adequate and secure parking for that. And, of course, we would look at the commercial real estate sites that we think may be available for that, which is the Florida Blue on Riverside. We already have Homeland Security there. And the building is actually really large enough for what we need now for if we were to move all of our units back in there, as well as with the parking. Florida Blue Bay Meadows, we've looked at a State Farm building off of Bay Meadows at another time and some other commercial office parks. But, of course, we know that we would need to work with the city's commercial real estate person, of course. But
you might well imagine I'm getting lots of folks who have opinions on this. And so one thing was consideration of existing facilities
right.
as in terms, but it's got to be something that's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be curious from Chris and others about the adaptation of existing facilities as we talk about these kind of things. And maybe in the context of the presentations, your experience in adapting existing facilities, it would be something that would be helpful for us as we learn about your work.
Yeah, and to add to that, I'm curious as to cost-wise, is it less expensive to build new or less expensive to renovate?
I get you. Yeah. No, your point's well taken.
So our next steps are we need to get our staff input, which is what we will be working on within the next week so we can get you that square footage that we think mm-hmm. we're going to need. Because really we need for them to tell us what they need to be efficient, not for just right now, but for the future, how that's going to build out. So they will determine their high priorities, their lower priorities, the general layout, like the traffic flow, the spatial allocation, and if they had any alternative choices. And then once we get that, we can really determine what the square footage would need to be for what we're looking for. So
I have to say, Chief, I'm very impressed by the development, the detail and the work here and the thoughtfulness that went into it.
Yeah. So thank you. And so the other considerations that we're doing is we'll create some subcommittees in our department, like, for instance, technology, like what you've already stated before, like if we had the emergency operations room, the audiovisual recording systems, that's also for our interview rooms, the training and the meeting spaces, our office and gate controls, you know, if we had to have our overhead paging systems within the building, simulation training for communication center and central records, which would be great with our community meeting room there, because like as of right now, you know, if they go out to our training academy, they can do simulations out there, which is very helpful for us. So even if we had something like that in our PMB, you know, we can do that actually right there. Policies and procedures subcommittee, because of course, with the if we're renovating or if we're doing a new build, then our policies and procedures have to change of how we do business. Our furniture and interior design and our personnel projection, those are going to be our subcommittees, because again, our human resources person would be able to tell us how many people we would include in the next 10 years, not just for what we're looking at right now.
I thought that was a typo. I thought it was personnel protection, but it's it was projection. It is correct.
Yeah.
In terms of what staffing, future staffing may look like.
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
I was trying to catch you on a mistake. I didn't. No, not really.
And so just to go back to things that we have learned so far with the visits, and we are planning on visiting Orlando, Claremont, St. Petersburg, because we've heard really good things about these agencies, and Tampa. Right, those are our four that we're going to do. So what we've learned so far, again, I keep saying is build for the future, because a lot of the agencies have said that, all of them have said that once they've moved into the new facility years later, they have already outgrown the facility because their personnel has grown so much. Ensure space for storage, because that's usually cut first. Actually, when we were in Chicago, I can tell you we visited one agency, and literally, I don't even know if it was a closet, if the space was a closet for their storage for the entire building. So that's always cut. Increase the parking and make sure that it's secure. Receive input from the staff on the functionality of the space, because they're the ones that's actually using it. The audio visual recording, that's a high priority for most of them, again, because interview rooms, the community space that we're using, as well as, you know, for the sheriffs, the sheriff interacting with people via WebEx or Teams or what have you, even in other states. Wellness rooms are a very high priority. Durable flooring options, instead of using tile, just making it like concrete, for example, and making sure it's polished so that we don't have to replace it.
Sure.
So that's a cost savings, actually. Multiple secure entry points for employees. A sally port for when they are bringing suspects in to be interviewed, or subjects, I should say. And most importantly, even though it's put last, is community input. All of them said it's very important to have community input on what the facility should look like.
Great.
Yeah. So, and then other than that, it's just making sure that we put the people first, design the facility for efficiency and ease of travel and comfort for employees and visitors, and build in a sense of timelessness, not trendy. Make sure it's a reflection of Jacksonville, and performance over style, and allow for flexibility. So... And that's it. If you have questions.
This is great. Thank you. I do appreciate that. Ryan, I'm sure you can weigh in on some thoughts. Let's talk a little bit about interconnectivity electronically. IT conversations, we've had that common conversation in a few other meetings, that the fact that the JSO system doesn't speak to the Crooker Courts, which doesn't speak to the Justice Department. And we talk about storage. I assume a lot of that's paper storage, I assume. None? Okay, that was going to be my question. If there isn't paper storage, then that's fine. Obviously, it's property storage and that sort
property
of thing.
Storage.
Okay. But I do want to make sure that we talk about that, perhaps even in the short term as opposed to the long term. And I know Charlie Kofer and others have been talking about that, and Mike Smith over at the Justice Office over there to see if we can get – I mean, that's a transition we can do in the interim and make sure that's addressed as part of this process. Generator and fuel storage, that sort of thing. Did I see that in here, or is it not per se? Or
well, the fuel site, if you're talking about our gas pumps, then yeah, we definitely.
Oh, I'm talking about energy for generator fuel, et cetera.
Do we have, is that accommodated in here?
It's not, but we will, I think we did put it in there. That it's not in there.
Yeah, I don't know if it was on the presentation for a backup generator for the entire facility.
Right.
And fuel storage. That is important.
It is.
Obviously.
That's why I didn't notice it. No, yeah. I want to make sure
we'll make sure it gets incorporated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we actually, I apologize, I didn't include it on here, but even in the new building, we would want a facilities building because that would be a part of that.
That's that was going to be my next question. Mm-hmm. You take your AC units an area that's easily accessible, that's kind of out of the way, but
absolutely
focuses on providing efficient maintenance of
those
facilities.
That's one of those additional spaces.
And you did mention fairness, and solar panels are part of the conversation in here, but I assumed that generator would still be required for fuel storage. All right, Ryan, do you have any thoughts? And we'll get, first of all, Chief O'Neill, if you can make sure Sonia gets a copy of the PowerPoint, and we'll disseminate it to all the folks out there who are interested in seeing it so they have that to respond to, as long with the contact information for Chief O'Neill. So if you have follow-up questions, you can direct those to her. Ryan, do you have any thoughts, questions, comments? I know you're operating a bit blind because you don't have the PowerPoint or the presentation in front of you, but... Okay. A little closer to your mic, you're dropping off. Just barely. There you go.
Well, actually, when we were in Gainesville day before yesterday, their building sits right on the corner on the street. So he talked about really wanting that building off of the corner and, yes, having it set back and putting a fence around it. So some of them talked about that and also having a ballistic material around the building, especially if you have windows. And the building itself. Does that answer your question, Ryan?
Yeah, it does. And it kind of plays to the conversation about adaptive reuse of an existing building versus building new. I think there's some major structural and envelope considerations that, you know, as a group we have to take a look at. And the cost could be fairly significant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ryan, this is Scott Dingy. Yeah, all of the buildings that we've looked at, that is one of the major considerations is the security. And in Gainesville, for example, they were using a historical site where they remained on the same site, you know, from where it's been 50s, maybe even before the 1950s. So they were now stuck with a very limited space and limited or very exposed area. Some of the newer buildings that we saw outside Chicago were like you're talking about. They were offset from the road. They had physical barriers that don't even look like barriers, though. They're made with the landscaping and some bollards, stuff like that, that really didn't stand out to make it look like a fortress, but yet it was still secure. So that is definitely high on our list of considerations that we look at.
Chris or Todd, do you have anything? You need to come up to the podium if you wouldn't mind. And Sarah, I'm going to invite you up as well.
So, Chris Wilson with Gilbane. Great presentation. I was going through my checkbox of everything you kind of want to look at in a facility, and you hit just pretty much every one of them. So I congratulate you on a great first step in getting this moving forward. One thing that was kind of on my list. We've seen NGOs, non-governmental organizations, kind of be engaged in some of the community spaces. Any thoughts around maybe doing that, a volunteer group or somebody that works with victims, or that they would actually have an office that could be utilized in the front area? So that'd be the only really big thing that I saw that we've seen other places that we're not seeing.
Are there organizations you work with in that fashion presently?
Well, our victim services advocate, but they are listed in this presentation as having one of the rooms, because we currently have a couple of them in our office, and so we want to move a few more in. But yes, so we do have them listed in here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah, appreciate it. Sarah, come on up.
With Ajax, or a contractor. That was an awesome presentation. You guys have gone through so many details. The only main question I had, because I'll definitely dig into the presentation when you send it around, is obviously cost, right? We want to minimize cost, but get the facility that you need for 10, 20, 15, 20 years. A lot of what we're doing in many facilities is trying to consider multi-use spaces, right? So these training rooms, meeting rooms, wellness rooms, anything that can be used as multi-space, like, for example, that you're talking about having an emergency operations center within your building. What can that be used for when it's not activated? So anything like that, that just gives y'all bigger program and a less square foot and some multifunction. So if you can start thinking about those multi-use spaces without it hindering your operations, that would give y'all maximum capacity for your facility.
Okay. Good thought. Yeah. I appreciate that. Any other comments? All right. Well, I don't have anything more to offer other than my compliments again for, as you have already heard multiple times, a lot of thought that went into this and the finer detail. So I guess at this point, I got my marching orders. Ben's going to help me get that list, and I'm going to start to try and push that forward. We'll disseminate both the information of Chief O'Neill's contact information as well as this PowerPoint to all the interested parties. And our next meeting is going to be on November the 9th at 9:30 in the Leonard Roberts room so that people can make... I'm going to need it in the Linwood. Reserved? All right, we'll see if we can bump them around. We'll get JSO on top of it. We'll scare them off. All right. Well, wherever we can make it, so we'll have to. It might even be in the chambers if necessary, so that we can accommodate presentations and Zoom, because it's not going to be fair to tell people they all have to be in the room to do this. And I want to be able to be, to your point of sharing it with the community, I want to make sure that we can stream this. Jeff, we're not streaming this, are we? So the next couple of meetings, I think it's important for us to stream so people can see, as you said, community input on that. And we'll make sure we push that out there, that we're going to have that conversation on the next two meetings. So it's going to be the 9th and the 20th, and we'll try and confirm the Linwood for either or both of those. Anything else, Director Schmidt?
No. Good progress, I think, and good input. Appreciate it.
Brian, any further closing comments? And we look forward to seeing you in person on the 9th. All right. With that, we're adjourned. November 9th is 9:30, and then November 20th. Confirm one of those. And if there's anything you need from me in the interim, I know that you guys are self-sufficient, so I'm trying to stay out of your way and let you do what you do.